flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm camping, it's prime. Get it and flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm camping, it's prime.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Ball Don't Lie. Dropping a lot later than we usually do. Of course, when you hear this, this will be a Monday. This is not my fault. And I'm going to tell you that every time I come on the podcast, because y'all be thinking it's my fault and shit don't be my fault. So I will not put any blame on anybody else. Just know it's not my fault. I am the Cal Ripken of this network. You know, rain, hail, sleet or snow, I will be here. But this is episode 125, man. You know where to follow us, man. At Barb Chair Scott on Twitter and Instagram. You know where to follow Dante at October Zonte on Twitter. You can follow Barber's Chair Network on Twitter at Barber's Chair Net. And of course, if you are a Patreon subscriber, we fuck with you. If you're not, what the hell are you waiting for, man? Patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. And today we have a special guest, man. We got special guest, rapper extraordinaire, basketball enthusiast, all around good guy, smooth dude. We got my man Illy D. Williams in the house. What's going on, bro?
What's good, bro? How you feeling?
I'm doing good, bro. Me and this guy go back an extremely long time, bro. Almost like 10 years now, dog. About 10 years.
Y'all can still call me the boy Illinois, but I just respond to Illy.
Well, I think we've always called you Illy. I don't think I ever called you by your full rap name.
No, like, never.
It's like I never called Pavy. Like,
it's either, yeah, no, it's always Pav.
Pav or his government name. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. So, like, nigga, I know your daddy, nigga. I ain't calling Lee Pavy.
Exactly.
But yeah, man, we got a lot of stuff to talk about today, man. A lot of stuff going on in the NBA. I watched a lot of basketball this week because, you know, Lee Pass charged me. And I have to justify me paying $40 a month to watch this shit. So we got a lot to get on to. We're going to start with our weekly observations. I've got a couple. My first one, it's the Zion Williamson world, though. It's Zion's world, and we're just living in it. I'm glad that everybody is finally seeing Zion for what I said was going to happen a year ago. A lot of people getting off the bandwagon. Oh, he's fat. He can't do this. He can't do that. Give me Ja ahead of him. It's the point, this man is like putting up like golly numbers, like 37, 39. I think he even had a 40-point game the other week. You can't stop him once he gets in the hole. I think it's like he leads the league in point paints. I think he's averaging like 19, 20 point paints a game, which is ridiculous. He's shooting a crazy percentage from the field. So I just want everybody to just eat all their words. Eat all their words for what they're saying, and he's 20. He's not even 21 yet, dog. He's 20 years old. And I always say, if Giannis had Zion's moves, the Bucks would have made it to the finals by now. Like, that's the number one thing that's holding them back, is Giannis ain't got no moves. But it's Zion's world, and I'm with it with that one. My second one, I was never back on it this year, but the Clippers, man, I don't trust them niggas. It's something about them. I just don't trust them, bro. And I respect Kawhi because he's becoming Teflon, where – all the heat and problems with this team are going to be thrown on Paul George because Paul George hasn't done it when the lights are bright. But Kawhi needs to take some of this heat too, dog. You had this big signing almost 2 years ago now of coming to the Clippers, and I'm not even too sure these niggas going to get into the conference finals anymore. Like, they have a problem with the main issue, of course, is point guard. They addressed that. Rondo has been traded here. We have not seen him play yet because Rondo's, you know, working on the injury or whatever. But it's that defense, dog. It's the defense, which was supposed to be the thing that was the selling point. You got two of the best wing defenders in the league on one team. They rank like 18th in defense right now. They're doing the same shit they did last year as far as letting weak-ass teams come around and losing to teams that are contenders. You know what I'm saying? So that's going to be an issue with them. And it actually leads into my third and final weekly observation. The Denver Nuggets, I believe, are the number one threat to the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, you all know on this podcast, Jamal Murray is the only light-skinned hooper I do not bang with because I got to see him do it in front of the hoes before I fully anoint him. But I love what I see from Jokic. I think he's MVP. Aaron Gordon, even though him and that number are lame as hell, he's out there contributing to this team. And they went from, remember they were on our most disappointed list like before the All-Star break?
Yeah.
They went from like 11th seed. They're like, what, 4 or 5 right now? Like they're inching higher and higher in the rankings. And LeBron getting hurt And Embiid getting hurt really opened up the window for Jokic to be MVP. And if today, if LeBron and AD are healthy, you put a gun in my head, yes, I would still pick the Lakers to come out the West. But the Nuggets, are somebody I think we gotta watch out for, man. So
they're game out of third right now.
Game out of third. Impressive win against the Clippers. Illy, man, you have any weekly observations for us?
No, but I want to go off of yours.
Okay.
And say Clippers are definitely suspect. They've been suspect since last year. There's nothing heightened since last year. It's like it's no sense of urgency.
Yeah.
How they lost. So I don't trust them. And I'm a big, big Denver fan because I be watching on, I be on FanDuel. So I pay attention to a lot of stats, statistics, wins, and all that stuff. Jokic is definitely MVP contender. And him having Aaron Gordon on the team, just his cutting is all he needs. That's all he needs. And Aaron Gordon just playing his role, everything going to be super smooth in Denver.
Yep. And they basically Aaron Gordon is a better version of what they were missing in Jeremy Grant when they lost him this offseason. And I think Aaron Gordon, you've never seen Aaron Gordon and Aaron Judge in the same room. I just want to keep pointing that them niggas look exactly alike. But when he brings him just playing his role, it just brings a completely different dynamic. And one thing I just love about Jokic, now I was not a fan of him at first either, because he just looks real, you know, like he's in the YMCA. He just like
yeah, he don't look like he's supposed to know how to hoop.
Right. He like a plumber.
Yeah, man, he can hoop his ass off though, man.
Yeah. And he be killing it. And like some of the numbers you look at, it's just like, dog, what the fuck
ridiculous,
is this?
Man.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I agree. And like you, I think also you add Aaron Gordon to that team, the length they have, because I think they had they ran a squad out there the other day where they had Michael Porter Jr. at the three, they had Aaron Gordon at the four, and they had Jokic at the five. And then like the smallest player on the court was Jamal Murray, who's he's like 6'3". So I mean the length that they're gonna be able to throw at teams like the Lakers, like the Clippers. That's gonna be tough to deal with come playoff time because Aaron Gordon is too. And one thing that he's never had his entire career, he's never had somebody that can set him up to get buckets. Mm-hmm. When he's been in Orlando, he's been with point guards who either shoot first or they just trash. So he's never had that guy with him to do that type of shit. So now that he's got Jokic, he's got Murray, he's got guys that who can facilitate and who want to get him to rock. That's gonna help. And he also makes up defensively where you know Michael Porter Jr. lacks. So I think that's going to help them a lot.
And that's another thing I wanted to bring up, too. Maggie Porter Jr. is hooping.
Listen, yes. I was going to say that. He's a bucket. He's been super consistent. And that's what, when you go back to your Zion thing, one thing, because I've been paying attention to the statistics more because I'm betting, is Ja Morant is wildly inconsistent. I would never take him over Zion. Ja have 31 night, and then the next three nights, 16, 8, 7. And it's like, damn, bro, you supposed to be one of them ones. You ain't there yet. You show a little small flash, but you ain't there yet.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that one. And then I know there's a lot of Bulls fans, but, man, we should have took Michael Porter. I still don't lose sleep over that because if you saw how this nigga looked at the draft, bro, he couldn't walk up the stairs.
I still lose sleep over that, bro. The Bulls was garbage, G. So, like, if you're going to take somebody when it's just
– do you trust Michael Porter with our training staff?
I mean, but you got to think, looking now, they got fired. They wouldn't have been him.
Okay. Yeah, but he still would have been here for 2 years before that.
I don't think they would have broke him in 2 years. I think he would have made it through then. But I think when you look at where we were, even though, like, you know, hindsight is 2020, I think I'd much rather take a roll the dice on him than on Wendell Carter.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, obviously, yeah. Wendell Carter in Orlando.
And that draft, that should have been the move you made, but
we're gonna get to the Bulls later in the show. I just want to say that we're learning more and more how big of war criminals Garn Pax were, because we'll get into that later. But before we get into our first topic, I want to talk about me and Illy's love for Harden now, which is hilarious because if you follow us on Twitter, we couldn't stand couldn't stand this nigga.
I think it was missing. I didn't hate Harden. I didn't like the Fugazi shit that he did because he was so – it reminded me – this is a wild-ass analogy, but it just reminded me of the nigga who grew up with everything and he tried to be fit in and be hard. And it's like, nigga, you got everything. You have every – you all the tools, Harden. Why are you doing the Fugazi shit to score? Like, bro, like, you can do this in your sleep. And then once he got to Brooklyn, it's like the flopping went down considerably.
and I was like, stalking went down considerably. It went
down, and that's what I didn't like watching. And once he got over there, I had no problem. Be like, because I always said he was super cold, and that's what frustrated me about him. Because super cold niggas don't do LA Fitness moves, and that's what. And I was like, geez, I can pull this type of shit off, bro, and score 30. So like, and I know you can score 30 without doing it. So how about you do that? So that's always been my. But now. Bro is balling, man. I mean, he always been balling, but he's super duper balling.
I think Kyrie, I got to give it to Kyrie. Kyrie told that man, yo, you facilitate. You're the point guard of this team. I'll be the two. Once that happened, I feel like that changed the whole dynamic of the Nets because there was a lot of questions about how this is going to work. You got a guy like Harden who needs his shots. And now it's like everybody's got a role. Kyrie, like, I'm just going to shoot. When you're not in the game, I'll be the point guard. And it's James' job to be the facilitator. And KD is the only superstar, I would think, probably in the game that you can literally plug this nigga anywhere. Like, he don't take long to adjust at all. And by the way, Malik Andrews said KD is going to return this week. They said it's either going to be Monday or later in the week, but he will be playing next week. So we can finally get to see what this team is going to all be together. They don't think Harden's hamstring is serious. The big three, or what did Stephen A. call him? I like Lethal Weapon 3. I like that nickname. Lethal Weapon 3 will finally, they only play 7 games with each other. So I'm interested to see how they're going to play. They need to get a little rhythm before the playoffs start. But yeah, Harden, man, he's actually a joy to watch now. And that and me turning on Giannis was not something I saw on my bingo card for 2021, which is the perfect segue. Are we sleeping on the Milwaukee Bucks? I say that because they're third in the East. I think Giannis had 47 last night or some shit like that.
I'm done.
They beat the shit out of the Blazers. And it's just like he was going to the hole so strong. And I'm like, why can't you do this in the playoffs? Like the playoffs come, he gets locked up. Like he can't even get past the free throw line. So now you got the additions of PJ Tucker. You still got Drew Holiday, who's been there all year. Jeff Teague ain't really shit, but it's a backup point guard option. I feel like when we talk about the East, it's really just the Sixers and the fucking Nets. Even the Heat are getting more love. Obviously, the Heat made it to the finals last year, but are we sleeping on Milwaukee? Do y'all think that we're not giving Milwaukee enough credit?
I think it's similar, though, when people win MVP over and over again. It's like you get that voters remorse. You know, you're like, all right, bro, we're not trying to do this shit again. Let's do something else. And so, like, with the Bucks, they've been consistently really, really good year by now. What, 3 years in a row?
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at this shit now. Overall, they rank third. Offensive rating is 6th. Defensive rating is 8th. They second in points per game. So, gee, they getting buckets, and they stopping other niggas from getting buckets. And this is 3 years in a row that they've been doing this. But like you said, when we dumb everything down to, you know, rings culture and you got to win it all, when you consistently fail, it's kind of like we were talking about with Paul George and the Clippers. It's like, all right, bro, it don't matter if y'all win 50, 55 games in the regular season. Are you going to fuck it up in the playoffs like you always do? And I feel like, you know, all great players have that moment where, you know, you've been getting that accolades, you've been getting, you know, all the individual shit. But until you get that ring, you still can get that criticism. It's like, I saw somebody today that was talking about how 80s Mike don't get the love he really deserved. Because they was like, he was just a scoring machine. But like,
yeah, he wasn't winning.
We only really talk about Mike when he was winning.
True. Very true.
88 like Mike might be the greatest basketball season ever.
Exactly. Like that's probably like 80s Mike was clearly a better player than, you know, 90s Mike, but he didn't have the mentality that 90s Mike had, and that changed everything. You feel me?
I definitely agree with that. On the Bucks side, is that they've been winning. It's just like, all right, what's next? Yeah, you had an MVP. Y'all done went so far in the playoffs, been disappointed. It's kind of like we just wait for the playoffs for them to show up.
Right.
I'm very interested to see what the addition of PJ Tucker and Drew Holiday is going to do for them in the playoffs. Because those guys kind of relinquish a Chris Middleton from guarding the other toughest guy on the team.
Yep.
So he don't have to do as much on defense, and he can probably contribute more offense. Same with Giannis. So I'm very interested because PJ Tucker can guard 1-5.
Yep.
So I'm very interested to see what they do in the playoffs. But now I don't think we're sleeping on them. We're just waiting for them niggas to show and prove. That's all.
That's a good point, too. I think the only time, like, the thing that's weird about, not weird, but it's kind of like compared to, like, remember how LeBron or like KD or somebody, they'd be like, oh, well, they don't have no help or some shit like that. The reason Giannis and the Bucks haven't made it to the finals is because of Giannis. I'm not finna blame Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton does what I expect a nigga like Chris Middleton to do. Like, I think he's vastly overpaid, but I'm not hating on any man for getting their money, get your money. But that man Giannis, at the end of the day, he got to step up and take on that challenge, man. Because when you look at the last two postseasons, what Kawhi did to him in 2019 was criminal. What Jimmy did to him last year was criminal. And he's got to look these dudes in the face and just like, all right, enough. There's no reason we should be talking about the Miami Heat, who are literally the definition of a 500 team. They're 24-24, 12-12 at home. I mean, 12 wins on the road at home and 12 wins on the road. They're literally the definition of that. And we thinking about them more than we think about the Bucks. And the Bucks only like a game or two behind the Nets. So they just got to go out there and take it like y'all been saying. But I had these conversations. Shout out to Hoops and Brews. I should make another bet with Pavi. He thinks the Bucks are coming out the finals. And I'm just like, coming out the East. And I'm like, look, man, if the Nets are healthy, God bless. I don't care what kind of defense you play.
Nah, yeah, it's not gonna work. The Nets are healthy, it's over with, man.
Yeah, man, like that's what I'm excited to see. Embiid comes back tonight. This is Saturday that we're recording this. Embiid comes back tonight.
Another MVP candidate in my book.
Yeah, I thought he was the MVP till he got hurt. I officially think he missed too much time. I thought LeBron had a chance after Embiid went down. LeBron's gonna be out by the time he come back. He'd been out a month. He's out of it. To me, it's a 2-man race between Jokic and Dame. And they're both like in the fourth and the fifth seeds in the East. I mean, the West. So that's going to be something to watch.
Don't sleep on Chris Paul, man.
No, this thing. Chris Paul should get MVP consideration. He should.
Yeah, I don't think at least consideration.
I don't think he's going to get it.
Because I just think, like you said, with the two front runners getting hurt like that, it's really going to be one of them off years where somebody sneak one and they like, nigga, who?
It's going to be them off years, but if you look at Dame and Jokic's actual individual numbers, it's just so asinine that I don't think they're going to give it to Chris Paul. But I'm with you. Chris Paul should be considered the same or even more. Just the Suns are number two in the West.
Yeah, exactly. And you know they always do the records. They always
Nobody would have predicted that.
As much as we you know, hate the whole, you know, narrative-driven awards, but that's really what it is.
So, oh no, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying I expect the Nuggets to finish like top three when the season's over. I think the Clippers or the Lakers gonna fall.
Yeah, I think the Lakers are in trouble.
I think the Lakers are some shit. But yeah, so I'm with you on that. I think Chris Paul definitely should get some recognition because he made the Suns from a play-in team to the number two team in the West. And they didn't really change the roster. It's the same roster from last year for the most part is they just added Chris Paul to it.
They added bro and Jay Crowder.
Yeah, and Jay Crowder's not somebody who I consider who, you know, moves the needle. So I'm just gonna
exactly.
He's one of those okay rotational dudes. But yeah, it's Chris Paul doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah, man. Let's talk about Russell Westbrook, man. Russell Westbrook had he's low key been cooking like since the last month and a half. I ain't really been paying attention because who watches Wizards games? But couple days ago this week, he had 35 points, 14 rebounds, and 21 assists, man. And this got into like a little thing that happened on First Take. Stephen A. Smith's basically saying he didn't give a shit about the numbers he put up because he ain't won nothing. And then you got Russell Westbrook's wife. She basically went on Instagram and was like, you know, stop talking about my husband, who out the bam. And I understand. And then Russ went with the I don't care about winning the championship. I'm from the streets. I made it. Okay. This is what I feel about this. Number one, I'm not mad at his wife. That's family members. That's a husband. That's the mother of her kids. She's going to get a little, you know, insensitive about it. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with all of that. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with Russ, you know, I guess saying he didn't care, which I don't 100% buy. I don't have a problem when players say, oh, I made it out. I'm a champion. Because in that particular, you know, way you phrase it, okay, yes, that's true. But when you're playing the actual game, I'm not really trying to hear I don't care about winning shit. And that's the type of shit that I just was not trying to hear. And also at the same time with Stephen A., from Stephen A.'s perspective, Stephen A. got a show to do. Stephen A. talks about everybody. I didn't feel like he was being a bully to Russ. Stephen A. talks about everybody like this. And if you're a big fit figure like Russell Westbrook, if you're MVP like Russell Westbrook, you're going to have to take some of that shit. LeBron gets talked about every goddamn day. Like, they should just change the name of that fucking Shannon and Skip show to LeBron TV.
Like, that should get annoying, bro.
It's annoying. Like, if I was LeBron, I probably would stole off Skip Bayless by now. Maybe if somebody is, I'm trying to get in the media, I understand both sides, but I feel like Russ is one of those players where I don't feel like he's ever been put in the quote unquote right situation to use all his talents to win a fucking championship. Because even when him and KD was going to all these conference finals, he wasn't the Russ he is right now. You know what I'm saying? Like he didn't hit his prime. He was always the number two. And I just feel like it didn't fit in Houston. I blame Harden on, I blame him. So I just kind of feel like I don't feel like we're underappreciating Russ. It's just until Russ actually does it when the money's on the line, I just don't think people are going to care that much. And like, I think that's what she goes back to you saying, Dante, about how winning media driven narratives at the end of the day, that's why people, all these players team hop, because they care about championships and what you're doing in the finals and the playoffs. And so it's like the regular season numbers don't even matter much. If you look at, he's on his fourth straight season of averaging a triple double. And we're just like, oh, that's Russ by now.
That's my point exactly, G, bro. He's averaging 21 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, one and a half steals for the fourth year in a row. Like, that's fucking insane. Like, if you would have went back several years and told somebody that, they would have been like, bro, get the fuck out of here. Like, no, we haven't seen this since Oscar Robertson, and here, bro, is about to do it for his fourth year in a row. So I think he's definitely underappreciated. But I mean, like we said, that's just the culture that we've built around the sport and around athletics in general. We don't really appreciate the amazing athletic ability that these people have and the wild shit that they do. Like, no player should be doing this. Like, and with Russ, it's more so because we say, oh, his style doesn't fit X, Y, and Z. He hasn't been able to win yet, which, you mean, you know, his career is not over yet. So, you know, to say he's, you know, quote unquote, not a winner is still, it's true, but it's not true. Because it's like he said to his point, he's won that life already. And so for me, I think the whole Stephen A thing, you know, these TV dudes, they got to say certain shit. They just have to. That's just a part of their thing. That's what they do for ratings. It's weak as hell, but I mean.
But you also, like I said, I look at it both ways, because if you're ESPN or somebody, you do a 2-hour debate show 5 days out the week, you're going to come up with some bullshit to fulfill them 2 hours. So if you're the athlete, of course, you're not going to see it from that situation. But I understand why the media doesn't. I understand why the athlete gets upset at the same time.
Yeah, no, I agree, G. But I feel like, I mean, we really got to change that shit. Like,
how do you expect to change
that? That's really a part of the issue, man. I mean, that's why people like us are trying to get into the media, like people who know these stories and can really change the narrative. Because right now you have a lot of people who don't know these guys, don't give a fuck about where they come from, who are controlling the narrative. I think, you know, last time we checked, you know, really looked at it, I think it's like, even like in the high 80% of all journalists are white. So, you know, these are the people who telling this shit. So I think one of the ways you really do change it is trying to get involved, get into the media and having us tell these stories, as opposed to people who can't relate and don't have the understanding. Like Stephen A, I mean, like I said, he's doing it for a check. That's the platform he's built. And so, I mean, it gets extremely repetitive, but it is what it is. It works for them, and it's a formula that keeps working. Like you said, with these debate shows, we see the same conversations day after day, over and over, same shit, same props, same, you know, everything. Like,
I guarantee you they're going to find a way to talk about Michael Jordan's legacy in the Space Jam trailer on Monday.
100%.
I guarantee you.
It's fucking ridiculous, bro.
Hilly, so, what you think about Russ, man?
Russ, I think that I've been waiting for Russell Westbrook to get an actual real coach his entire career, because it's just undisciplined. You know, the stats is cool, but it's just a lot of undiscipline. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you watch these games during that triple double, how many bad shots did he take?
A ton.
You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of other things within that, which when he did that with OKC, I actually started looking. I was like, okay, Adams is letting him get these rebounds. All right, like, This is his MO. He wanted to be his thing. And I feel like that way with Harden before this season, where they was like, hey, I might not get a ring, So let me be known for something.
Get these stats.
Let me be known for something. Let me go down in the history books for something, because I probably won't get a ring. So let me be the triple-double guy. And people will talk about the Russell Westbrook and triple-doubles. They probably won't even bring up if he won or won 20 years from now. They're like, oh, yeah, triple-double guy, Russell Westbrook. So, I, you know, that's why I feel like where it's at with it. But he need to win. Or he doesn't need a real coach, man. Like, when you think about it, all the coaches he's had has been rookie coaches or Scott Brooks. Thibodeau, right. I mean, what you call it? PJ. Not PJ. Who? Why am I talking? I'm talking about. Who was the coach last year at the Rockets? That's on the Nets now.
Mike D'Antoni.
Mike D'Antoni. He's not no good coach for Russell Westbrook either, because he just bends over and takes it. So, I don't know. We might. His legacy might be over before he can get an actual real coach. And that's always been my thing about Russ, because Russ needs to be disciplined. And the coaches he's had, he can run over them and tell them what to do. So,
That's a good point, man. I one thing I always say about Russ is I respect his energy. No matter what type of game it is.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Give 110%. But I just don't feel you can win a championship with his style.
Be in a second.
Like, I just can't see that.
Nah, you can't.
Let's move on to the buyout guys. LaMarcus Aldridge, Andre Drummond. Of course, LaMarcus Aldridge is signed with the Brooklyn Nets. Andre Drummond is signed with the Los Angeles Lakers. I never thought. Now, granted, NBA Twitter is a hellhole. Anybody who, you know, is on Twitter and sees this shit, I can't stand it. It's the most annoying Twitter out of the three Twitters, the three major Twitters. And I only say that because I feel like the basketball is the only sport where I feel like it's maybe the easiest to break down. So everybody thinks they fucking Hubie Brown, you know, just because they watch a little bit of hoops. Like, people are watching it, but they're not watching the game, if that makes sense. So I've never seen people crying about LaMarcus Aldridge signing. I'm like, did y'all see another LaMarcus Aldridge this year, or am I tripping? Like, if he was that good,
still, niggas ain't watch no Spurs games.
Right.
Niggas ain't watch no Spurs games.
Niggas ain't watch the Spurs.
The thing is, niggas is going off their names now.
Yes.
They're like, yeah. Oh, he was a former all-star. This, that, and I was like, nigga, that former. Like that.
In the chill past out. Tense. Yeah.
Past tense.
It's bullshit. It's bullshit, G, because it's just like Blake said. He said, all I heard the past 2 years is how weak I am. now, all of a sudden, y'all talking about, oh, my God, he signed with the Nets. What's going on? It's like, don't try to change the narrative now. We've always seen veteran players, you know, when they get bought out, when they on their, you know, quote unquote, end of their careers, they sign with teams to try to get a ring. They sign with contenders. They're not trying to lose. They're not trying to be a part of rebuilds. And so with both of them, I think now they're nowhere near the stars and all-stars they used to be, but they can fill a role. Like LaMarcus Aldridge, he didn't score a hell of points for Brooklyn, but he played great defense. I think they said people that were defended by him directly were 2 for 10 from the field. So, you know, bro is going to fill his role, and that's what they needed on that team. So I think when you get people who get upset about the buyouts, it's like, we got this, you know, 24-hour media cycle where we always need something to talk about, and we always need that shit.
Always.
So you just need content, and this is a result of that.
And it goes, like, back to that, too, because you got to blame the media for them little ESPN Instagram posts, like, projected net starting lineup. Like, you're never going to see it one time for the rest of the year, Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge in the same lineup at the same time. That's just not going to fucking happen.
No.
Like, nah, LaMarcus might start. Andre Drummond might start, but you're not going
to
see
Andre Drummond is – Drummond is starting, and then Mark Gasol gonna say something. It's a tough pill to swallow, yeah. Bro. Get out of here. It's not that tough. It's not a tough decision to start him over Mark Gasol.
Right.
It's not tough.
I'm glad Laker Nation finally saw what I was saying about Mark Gasol when he signed that nigga. I was like,
what's that name?
I was like, did I miss the part where his knees got better? Like, tell me this.
But that's one thing that Drummond gonna rebound. If anything, he can be 80 years old. He gonna rebound. So if they're gonna need anything, he's gonna rebound.
He hurt his toe. I don't know if I think he was day to day or something.
Yeah, he's gonna miss the next couple of games, but they didn't say it was serious.
Okay.
They didn't say it was serious. I mean, look, man, it's even if you look at the history of the last couple of years, how many impacts do buyout guys even make in the playoffs? Like, a lot of them niggas don't even get ticked, because you gotta look at, like, your rotation gets very small come playoff time. Why, which is why I feel like depth is the most overrated word in sports outside of football. Football, you need depth because like 50 niggas on the
injuries.
Team.
Injuries too. Hella injuries in football.
With basketball and especially baseball, I don't give a fuck about depth, bro. When the playoffs start, you running eight niggas max. Unless you
seven,
like Steve
seven,
Kerr.
Eight niggas, yeah.
Yeah. Like, unless you Steve Kerr or Phil Jackson, where you like to empty the bench. That shit don't exactly. matter, man.
Nah, you're right. That definitely is a overrated thing. You got a good seven, eight guys, you good.
And Andre Drummond's not a rim protector, but I do think he can help the Lakers. What are you guys expecting from these two for the rest of the season and the playoffs?
Gee, like I said, just really, as far as LaMarcus, I expect him and Blake both to just be like big men facilitators.
Okay.
They're not gonna play no major role. They're gonna be on the bench, you know, playing in spurts. I think LaMarcus, you know, in shape and motivated, might be a little bit better than DJ right now at this stage in his career. But
yeah, that's why they started him the other night.
Yeah, that's why I said I think those two are going to be pretty interchangeable based on whatever lineup the Nets want to run with. But that's why I feel for him. And Drummond.
True.
Drummond, I think he fits well with the Lakers, especially because we all know AD don't really like playing center. Like, he plays it because he has to out of necessity, but he really rather play the four. So I think that's going to help free him up more when he does come back, you know, which, I mean, we'll get to that later. But that's still one big – that's more of a question mark for me than the Nets. I really think the Nets are going to flow regardless. Cause like you said, KD, he's the definition of, like, positionless. You can put bro anywhere. You can put him at 1-5. You can do whatever you need to do. But just put four guys around KD, and KD's going to go crazy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like he said, it all depends on what type of style the Nets want to play. They want to play pick and pop. You got LaMarcus. You want to play pick and throw the lob. DeAndre. Them two different, totally different players.
Yeah, they
touching it. They got all the bases covered, you know. So they gonna fit in well. They gonna merge well, and then they're veteran guys. So they like, hey, this put me where I need to be, so I can get a ring, you know. Andre, it's gonna be interesting because two of their top guys are out. While he's going to be playing.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see when those guys come back, how he's going to merge in, what type of lineups. Is Drummond and AD going to be playing at the same time? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be interesting, him and Harrell and all them guys.
Yeah, that's really, like, it's going to be based on how Vogel does them lineups. I trust Vogel more than I would Steve Nash, just because Steve Nash is his first time. You know, he's going to be moving a lot of shit around. But this is the thing, and, you know, Dante, since we could talk about it, I didn't have the Lakers on the rundown, but this is like a perfect time to talk about the Lakers. The Lakers are an interesting spot, man, because it really don't matter with them and the Nets. It don't really matter about LaMarcus, Blake, Andre Drummond. Can these niggas stay healthy? Like, the five major players is KD, Harden, Kyrie, Bron, and Anthony Davis. Are they going to be healthy? And I think it's more of a problem for the Lakers because I think Bron will be fine with the ankle injury, but you got to remember Bron is still 36. This is Bron's second major injury in three years. And AD, I'm more worried about, because anytime the word Achilles gets thrown in there and you already got a fragile nigga like AD, that's going to be a problem.
Man, fragile.
You know what I'm saying? He gets, you can look at that nigga, he's going to be out for like two games. So, how are they gonna be able to put all that shit together? And they in the wild, wild west. In the east, the Nets gonna have a little time to figure it out. First round, them niggas gonna be playing the winner of the play-in game, and they gonna dust them off real quick. They not even gonna really have a challenge, I feel, unless they play Philly in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think Miami will be a tough out too, just because Miami really locks up. But I don't think Miami can score enough to.
No, they can't. That's the problem. They can't. Nets can damn. Miami can't really outscore anybody.
Yeah, that was their problem in the finals. I mean, despite the fact they had, you know, two niggas hurt, which, by the way, Bron stands never bring up. But you know, I'm not shitting on him today. So
that's ridiculous.
We're not gonna shit on that today.
And also, you know, adding Oladipo, I want to see how that plays out. You know, he wanted to be there. He's been trying to get there for 2 or 3 years. So bro is finally in there. So seeing how that plays out, you know, it's not a lot of spacing out there in Miami, but you know, they they really an old school squad. They really remind me of one of the shit, the old Miami team. You know, they got their 3-point shooters, but you know, their main guy, you know, is Jimmy is in the bucket. You know, Jimmy does his best work in
the playoffs.
Yeah, the end range. And yeah, he's clutch too. So
yeah, definitely him. Bam is coming into his own too.
Bam is nice. I think Oladipo is gonna pick up the slack for them nights that you know Jimmy's not really in a scoring groove.
Yeah. I think as a whole, like the Heat are pretty much gonna be that, like I said, in between that 2 and 4, probably the 4 seed, but they're gonna be that between that 2 and 4 taking over for what Boston was gonna be.
About a disappointment. Them niggas suck.
They fall off the map, but you know.
Man, they fell off.
The hot seat is one of the most overrated coaches in the NBA. Brad Stevens.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's definitely on it, motherfucker.
The boy Wonder is on the hot seat. But so here's the question: do you think the NBA has a super team problem? Because every time somebody loads up, it's my favorite. Oh, they doing all this to be a 36-year-old? Look, man, super teams have really always been a thing in the NBA, but the super team as we know it is because of the Miami Heat. I don't think that we have, like, I wouldn't call it a super team problem per se, but I think the number one issue is a lot of people like to act like the NBA has always been a parody. NBA's never.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, nah,
it's like never ever. Been. You always between, know only three teams who can actually win it.
That's it.
Yeah, that's I'm saying we don't have a super team problem. We just have an exchange of power. You're not seeing Dr. Buss build a team. You're not seeing, you know, whoever the fuck was in Boston building those teams. You're not
the players are building the teams.
Though. Yeah, exactly. Now you're seeing players take these the matters and say own hands. You know, we joining up, we picking a city, we gonna link up there. You know, you got superstar players calling niggas like, hey, bro, let's go win. Because I think it all comes from the fact that even with LeBron, when he went to Miami, we all grew up listening to how players get shit on for not having rings.
It was and killing,
like,
bro.
So all these players are like, gee, I'm not going for that. And so, like, knowing that, you know, it takes more than one great player to win a ring, they're like, well, shit, I might as well hoop with, like, my homies. So you got a lot of people who are legit friends hitting each other up. Like, hey, bro, let's go play.
Yeah. The league, to me, has turned into 20-year-olds 2K, my NBA. Because when you think about it, it's all threes, dunks. If you had my team in 2K, you was that's a teenager. How it looks. You would stack your team as much as you could, and it's just like that's all. This is really is 2K in real life. The NBA is really turning into NBA 2K.
Niggas had Shaq and KG on the Bulls and shit.
Gee, it don't matter. You will pick a team. Be like, all right, who got a good nucleus? All right, we finna make these trades. You'll turn the trade decline off. You will just start trading for players.
Hell yeah.
This is what the league has turned into.
Real niggas turned the salary cap off.
So just imagine you 17 and three of your other homies and playing my league. Y'all gonna stack y'all teams and whoever else is just whatever else is left. And you're gonna play them until y'all get to each other. And it's like, all right, who really the best between us four players? That's all this is right now. And a lot of younger people enjoying it for what it is. Folks who grew up when it wasn't like, everybody got to go to one team. Some people feel a certain type of way. Others, it's like, man, it is what it is, man. It's 2021. Everything's changing. It is what it is, man. I don't think we have a super team problem. Niggas just got to realize it's 2021.
We got an expectation problem.
We got an expectation problem. No, you don't control.
We said you were breaking out a little bit, bro.
No, I was saying niggas just want it to be one way, and it's like you don't control the league. You're just being entertained.
It's like what Marlo Stanfield said: you want to be one way, but it's the other way. And you know, it is what. That's what I meant with it is what it is. I don't watch the NBA for suspense.
No, Storylines.
Storylines. And so why do you think the offseason is more entertaining than the actual damn season?
Man, this is way
trade
more
deadline was so much more fun than this year's been.
So like, much fun, dog. I'm paying attention. I remember your ass asleep when they traded for Bucci. I remember Twitter was going crazy. They like, I just, your brother was like, I called him four times. I tried to wake him up.
Nigga, I was fucking. Niggas thought I was dead, bro.
Where's Scott? Where's he at? We
gotta let him know. My nigga, like Mike, you was
a Bulls chairman. Like he has to know, or it doesn't exist.
Anything that's Bulls, White Sox, or Bears, niggas expect me to be on it. I was like, nigga, I was tired, bro. I went to bed like 4 a.m. Nigga, and then I saw KC Johnson's tweet and said, I don't think the Bulls gonna do shit. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to bed, nigga. Like, I woke up to like 10 missed calls, 30 texts. I was like, nigga, did somebody die? Like, what the fuck? But that's actually a perfect segue, man. We talk about the Bulls. What's your opinion on the trade? Because me and Dante gave our opinion last week. What did you feel about the Bulls trade? Not really them losing right now, but just the trade in general.
I love it. They did something for once.
Yeah.
When we see the change of management and the GM, it's like, all right, we're doing something now? Okay.
No, never.
And it's like we year after year, it's like, ooh, I wish for this for Christmas. Am I gonna get it? No, I'm not gonna get it. I don't know why I ask every time, and I never get it. But yeah, man.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing with the Bulls, man. And this is why I wanted to get at when I was talking about earlier. Guard packs and war criminals, bro. And we're seeing this shit right now because I want every nigga who was drafted by them niggas off this team. Like, I think right now we're seeing, like, we have a good nucleus. We know you've got Zach LaVine, you got Booch, and you got Pat Williams. I think those are, like, your cornerstones right now. We know that you got to get rid of Laurie. I like, you know, Kobe can stay.
Yeah, you got to get rid of him.
You got to get rid of Laurie. Kobe can stay if he just sticks to his Lou Williams, Jamal Crawford shit. But they need to get a fucking point guard. They need to get a fucking defenders because the Bulls' defensive strategy is I pray that nigga miss. That is exactly what the Bulls' defensive strategy is, man. So that's why I'm at with that. Like, I'm not too concerned about this losing streak because they have a hell of a look who they've been playing. They played Utah, they played Phoenix, they playing all these fucking contenders over these last couple games that they're just not equipped to beat. And it's just really that fucking simple. But if you look at the rest of the East, we'll be fine because the rest of the East, them niggas been losing too. We're still at 10. We still got two games up on Toronto, which I'm not expecting Toronto to be shit in the long haul. And after we play Brooklyn on Sunday, of course, you listen to this the Monday, that game will be over. And I'm newsflash, I guarantee the Bulls lost. But the schedule really softens up. You got the Pacers, you got the Raptors, you got the Hawks, you got the T-Wolves, you got the Grizzlies, the Magic, the Grizzlies, Cleveland, Boston, Cleveland, Charlotte. So those are all winnable games for them to get right back into it to get a higher seed. So I just think right now it's just about get to the play-in game. If you lose, you lose. If you don't, if you win, you win. You know what to address in the offseason. And that's just really anybody making a bigger deal of it out of that than what it is. I don't know what you expected. I'm just loving to see Zach and Vooch get a little chemistry and then you know what to build on in the future.
Yeah, bro, I agree. Like, this is nowhere near the final product, like we said when they first went the trade first went down. I think, you know, we all know they're gonna pursue Lonzo Ball this offseason, mm-hmm. which I think would be a great addition because I saw a report Brogdon is on, you know, I think that would be amazing. But also, I saw something they were talking about, Dennis Schroeder. I don't know how I feel about
Schroeder. No, I don't want Schroeder. Schroeder turned down $84 million from the Lakers.
No, keep Schroeder. Keep Schroeder. Keep him. No,
I am not paying Dennis Schroeder $84+ million.
I'm just saying, you know, that was just a name thrown out there. But I agree. I think we all more so want the Lonzo Ball, Malcolm Brogdon type two-way player.
Lonzo. Yep.
I would take Brogdon over Zoe, but Brogdon is better than Lonzo Ball. Yeah, but I agree. I think Zoe. I like Zoe a lot. I think coming to Chicago would really give him an opportunity to really
grow. I think Zoe would fit better with Zach than Brogdon would.
Because Zoe looked to set people up more than Brogdon. Brogdon is a more of a scoring point guard. And you know Zach likes to shoot that goddamn ball.
Right. So, Zach want that pill.
You know what I'm saying? So somehow having an actually skilled what's bro name? Archie Nakano?
Archie Diacono.
He be looking to pass, but he show can't really score when he wants to.
AKA Aldi's Kirk Heinrich as well.
Hey, look, you feel me? But no, I feel like having a much more skilled version of that would definitely work. And I feel like Lonzo is that.
Yeah, and also you need a point guard who's gonna be able to feed the big man, dog. Like,
yeah.
I think the Bulls players are so shocked they got a nigga who they can just feed it to in the hole because you couldn't do that with Wendell Carter.
It's a train. So,
It's gonna take a while for them to get adjusted to that, man. But overall, I'm not worried about the Bulls. I'm not stressing these six losses. Well, it's gonna be seven when you hear this, unless a miracle happens and somebody on the Nets gets shot on the court, which is the only way the Bulls will fucking win that game. I'm not stressed about this, man. The schedule's gonna get a little lighter, and I expect for us to get, you know, some more people. And one thing that Karnisovas and Eversley approved us already is there's a hole, they're gonna fix it. So for the first time ever, I'm going into this offseason not sweating about anything. Like anything to take care of.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to this offseason for once. Because I feel like actual moves will be made.
Yep.
So I'm definitely excited to see what they're gonna do.
For sure. We're gonna wrap this up, man, with our power rankings, weekly power rankings, man. Dante, do you want to go first or do you want me to go?
You can kick it off, bro.
Okay. I'm gonna start with five. Gonna put Portland Trail Blazers, and I actually like switched these two last night. I had Portland at number four, but then they got their ass kicked by Milwaukee. So I'm gonna put Portland at five. They won four out of their last five. Dame's looking like MVP. I'm really liking what Norman Powell's bringing to that team. They're finally healthy. They got CJ back. They've got Nurkic back. And I will give the Portland Trailblazers front office this. Even though I feel like these moves aren't gonna make them a championship contender, they're trying their best to maximize Dame being their star. As much as a small market team could possibly do. So I'm going to put the Blazers at number five. Number four, putting Phoenix Suns, man. Phoenix, of course, we talked about CP3 earlier. Devin Booker, they've won five in a row. They are a number two in the Western Conference right now, man. Got to give it to them. It's just kind of cool to see Phoenix back relevant again. I just like certain teams. Like when I think of Phoenix, I think about those Steve Nash teams. I think about those Charles Barkley teams. So it's kind of good to see them. Number three, like I said earlier, my number one threat in the West is the Denver Nuggets. Four in a row, big win against the Clippers on Thursday. Jokic is killing. Aaron Gordon's there filling in a role. And I think these guys are going to finish the top three seed when it's all said and done, man. Number two, Brooklyn Nets. I mean, there's not too much to be said right there. They've won four in a row. And this is with a lot of injuries. You know, KD's been out for almost 2 months now. Kyrie just came back two games ago. He wasn't hurt, but you know Kyrie. No player in the NBA used more PTO than Kyrie Irving. I mean, goddamn, he is the PTO king. But KD's supposed to come back next week. They've won four in a row. They're the number one team in the East now. They've been going back and forth with Philly for a while. They're the number one team, so I'm expecting them to just build off that. Number one, I do not believe in this team. I think, you know, me and my co-host Dante, we talk about this over and over again, but they're on a little high streak again, eight in a row. Utah Jazz, number one team in the Western Conference. They just had a victory over the Bulls, which isn't really saying much, but I can't shit on eight in a row. I can't shit on eight in a row. Donovan Mitchell's been doing good. Rudy Gobert's been doing good. I just don't believe them come playoff time. They give off that feel of a team that's just great in the regular season, but they're not really going to get it done. But I can see them beating the Clippers, though, at the same time. So I'm going to put the Utah Jazz as my number one this week for my power rankings.
Yeah. No, I got the Nuggets in at five right now on my power rankings this week. I got Philadelphia at four, actually. Joel Embiid is coming back tonight, so I think that's going to help them out a lot. We're going to see them really try to pick up where they left off. They only a half a game behind Brooklyn. I got I said I'm going to put Phoenix in that three spot. Like I said, 8-2 in their last 10. They won five in a row. I really like what they're doing. My number two, the Brooklyn Nets, 8 out of their last 10. KD's coming back. We're going to see how they take off with those three finally getting the chance to play together. And number one is the Utah Jazz. I think, like we said, We still want to see them prove it, but they've definitely shown themselves to be the top team in the West and the best team in the NBA outside of Brooklyn. So that's my five.
Okay. Illy, do you have a top five or no?
Yes, I do. Okay. I do. Number five, I got the Phoenix Suns.
Okay.
They've been doing amazing this year. So I just feel like, especially recent as of late, because those are another guys I've been watching on my bets. It's like they don't have to do too much. And I had that addition to Chris Paul is a big help. They be winning and DB be putting up a dub. You know what I mean? Having to do too much.
Right. He ain't got
to
go 40.
They don't have to do too much. And I'm like, I'm really, really loving what they're doing and what they got going on. Number four, I got Denver. I feel like that they had a nice little streak at first. After the All-Star break, things got a little rocky. The new addition to Aaron Gordon, I feel like it's a new energy. Aaron Gordon's happy. He adds a whole nother little energy to the locker room. I got them at number four. Number three, Philly. Number three is Philly. Tobias Harris has been holding it down. Definitely while Embiid has been out. Number two, I have Utah. And number one is Brooklyn. Because they still been whooping ass. And they had one leg or they had two legs. They ain't really had three legs. One or the other. Kyrie out. Harden like, I got it. Harden out. Kyrie like, I got it. So, like, yeah.
I seen someone on Twitter said they hold the Kyrie call off for Juneteenth during the finals. And I was like, fucking done. That shit would be funny as
hell. Hey, that shit be funny. It'd be even funny if that shit happened. And then the next game, he come back and score 60.
Right.
They're going to be like, hey, get that nigga Juneteenth off every year.
Like, what's your Kyrie and Dudo? I said, that's some shit Kyrie and Dudo.
Oh, for sure Kyrie and Dudo.
Because, bro, Stephen A. went from telling this nigga to retire to saying that he's an MVP candidate.
Oh, then in like 48 hours, see Kyrie. Kyrie Irving is the best. You got to give him some time like Kyrie Irving.
We know what he do on the court, man. Just give him whatever he got to do. Cool, man. As long as he don't slack off. Now, if he was slacking off on the court, too.
It'd be different.
Then it'd be different.
Yeah.
The nigga perform when it's time to perform. So I was like, it is what it is. PTO, use it up. I'm a proponent. I'm big on using up your PTO, brother.
Me too, nigga. Me too, bro. Like, I take off Dr. King Day if they don't give it to me. I was like, nigga, I'm not finna be here, bro. Like, fuck is y'all talking about? I'm with Kyrie.
It's in my morals.
Right.
You feel me? It's my culture. I deserve exactly. It.
The thing I love about Kyrie. One thing I love about Kyrie is he him all the time, bro. Like, you know, people can say what the fuck they
all
want
the about time. Kyrie.
He gonna be him, dog. And he gonna give you some little philosophical answer in the postgame.
No matter what.
He don't give a shit, man. So I love Kyrie, bro. Goofy Mog of the Week.
Hey, Scott.
Good.
Scott, but hold it, Scott. You know that's me all day.
For sure.
So you know that's why I fuck.
Anybody know Illy? He's definitely.
That's why I fuck with him.
For sure.
I own some hood as shit. I give you such a philosophical answer. You'd be like, nigga, why do you even think about that shit like that? He's like, listen, you got to. But nah, Kyrie, my nigga, bro.
I remember that one time that I think we was like at 10 degrees and some shit, and like. I knew it was so damn funny. Like, I think you and Pav got like the grass type shit, and I got me some steak. He's like, "So, brother, you gonna keep eating that meat over there?" I was like,
"But yeah, I was fucking with you." Though.
I know you, but that shit was funny. I was like, "What y'all niggas eating grass?"
You know, that's what the vegetarians be like. That's what our niggas think they act like. Oh, you eating them animals over there, huh? Like, nigga, I do not care.
That shit had me dying though. I was fucking rolling.
Oh man.
But Goofy Mog of the Week. I'm breaking Goofy Mog prediction. I'm giving it to myself. I'm giving it to myself for this. I was fully ready to shit on that Space Jam trailer. I had my anti-Bron propaganda loaded up in my drafts, and I saw like, damn, this look good.
No, Joe, I ain't seen it yet.
The new one looked hard. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, I'm finna watch that when I get off of here.
I was like, damn, this look good. And, you know, Don Cheadle's in it. You know, anything Don Cheadle in, man, I fuck with, bro. Like, and just Don Cheadle's one of my favorite actors. But LeBron, you can tell he actually tried to get, like, acting classes and shit for this. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I like how it's, like, kind of – it's not really, like, a sequel. Like, they call it The New Legacy. It's, like, really, like, kind of like a separation from it. And, you know, I enjoyed it. I'll probably watch it eventually. That's not something I'm, like, watching – stop my shit to watch, but that's right. A fucking kids movie, but you know, but nothing will take away from the first Space Jam, bro. If you were born in the 80s, lived in the 90s, bro, Space Jam is a moment in time. The soundtrack, even though they had the Nasty Man on there, it's one of the greatest moments.
Of my soundtrack is one of the top five soundtracks ever.
R. Kelly, Jay-Z, Monica on there, Seal.
Seal, Fly Like an Eagle, come on.
Yes. It's legit hits on there, bro. Back to back to back. Back when soundtracks really meant something.
Look. We need to bring soundtracks back, bro. Like, dead ass. All these damn Marvel movies they got, y'all niggas can't put together a fire soundtrack?
Like, hits that transcend generations.
Yes.
Like, yes. That's how cold that soundtrack was.
Yeah. And I think, of course, they'll probably be like, you're going to see, like, the streaming numbers, but I don't think it's going to be the same impact just because we live in a digital age. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. A lot of, like, and this is LeBron. Of course, it's LeBron. LeBron's the biggest star in the NBA, but... Nigga, you had to go to the theaters, nigga. Like, you had to hear word of mouth about Space Jam, nigga. I remember when the trailer came out, and I went first day with my parents to see that fucking movie. So, I, you know, maybe this would be like this for this generation, but I give it to Brian, man. That trailer looked good. It's a little CGI heavy. It looks like Space Jam Ragnarok a little bit, but I like the trailer, man. So, I'm going to give the Goofy Mark to myself.
Yeah, I ain't got no Goofy Mark this week. I'm going to say get well soon, DMX.
Yes, yes. He's breathing on his own. They said he's off life support. So
that's great to hear.
I'm happy to hear about that. His attorney said that. But yeah, definitely, man. DMX, stay up. Illy, do you have one for us?
Yes, indeed. That KD shit happened this week, right?
Yes, it did.
Yes. Yeah, KD, because you know you can't be talking to him like that, man. You know it. You know he gonna call victim as soon as he feel threatened. He gonna be, I'm a victim. What's that video, that meme? Help, police! Help, help! Come on, man. That's with anybody like that, bro. You can't be talking to them like that. They gonna call victim immediately and scream for help, bro. Like, I just give him Goofy Mark because you just should know better, man. You should know better, man. At this point in time, as many run-ins with media and stuff, like, come on, G, you know better, man.
You gotta be better media savvy. You knew he was gonna screenshot this shit.
Come on, man. It, you can't say certain stuff to certain marks without them being super sensitive and being like, oh my God, he hurt me.
100%. 100%, man. Illy, man, thank you for joining us, bro. It's always good to have you on here and talk about hoops with you, bro. Let them know where they can find you at, man. I know your music isn't streaming anymore, so let them know where they can get that.
No, yeah, the music not streaming anymore. You go to illymusic.com.
Okay.
To purchase all the music. I'm about to put up all the rest of the music probably tomorrow. I got a show in San Antonio tomorrow, so I'll be in San Antonio, Texas tomorrow. You can find me at Illy D. Williams. That's I-L-L-I D. Williams. But it's still the boy Illinois all day. Yeah.
Yeah, I love you putting them old clips up, bro. It was taking me back. Like, that 40 video, man. Nigga. That was, nigga, it was hot as shit.
Hot in the bitch. I'm glad we went to the beach.
Yeah, bro. That was a good day. I was like, damn, nigga. Like, funny shit. Pav looked young as hell. I look like I shot that video.
Young, bro. That shit looked young, bro. Pav looked young than a motherfucker.
That nigga looked nothing like that now, bro. Like, nothing. I look like I shot that yesterday. Like, I don't.
You definitely did. You look exactly the same, bro.
Look, but that it's gonna pay off when I get my 40s, nigga. I'm telling
you. No, for real. I tell people that.
That shit definitely does,
yeah. That shit gonna pay off. Like, damn, you 45? Yeah, nigga. So, but yeah, man, follow Illy, man. All of them, check out his music, bro. Of course, you know where to follow me at Barchair Scout on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Dante at Octoberzonte. Follow at BarbersChairNet at BarbersChairNet on Twitter and Instagram. Patreon.com/BarbersChairNetwork. We are going to be filming summer sessions in person again when I come back from Chicago. By the way, Illy, I'm being in the crib for a month, bro. We got to get up.
Oh, yeah, that's heavy, you know.
I'm coming back. So, yeah, after that, we're going to be shooting that. And we've got Cinema with the Guys, Sopranos Season 3, coming sometime in April. I'm not going to guarantee the date because me and my brother some niggas. Just know we reviewed the first four episodes of Season 3 already. So we got a couple more. So look out for that in April. We'll be back next week, backing on the regular date. So we'll holler at y'all next week, man. We are out.